For the message tonight and also for our message tomorrow morning, I decided to take a little bit of a look at the history of some of the favorite Christmas carols, because oftentimes hymns and songs have a tremendous meaning behind them. But tonight I have to begin, first of all, I guess, with a word of confession. I'm a diehard junkie. I like the Die Hard movies, especially the first one. If you haven't seen it, they star Bruce Willis, and please don't hold that against me. But he plays a New York police officer by the name of John McClane. In fact, my addiction has become so bad that this past summer, when Die Hard 4 came out, I was on vacation, a little town called Mammoth Lakes in the Eastern Sierra. Beautiful lakes, hiking, fishing. God's creation isn't any prettier. And on the first full day of our vacation, you would have found me at the Mammoth Twin Cinemas. You got it. Actually, I could blame my wife and my daughter because they really wanted to see it bad, but we were there watching Live Free, Die Hard. But none of them compare to the first one. The story behind the first one is very simple. John McClane is out in Los Angeles visiting his ex-wife, who has become, well, a person of rather high stature within the Nakatoma Corporation. And when he goes to visit her at her place of work, the Nakatomi Towers, well, they're having their Christmas Eve party, whereupon a group of terrorists take over the tower. And John McClane single-handedly takes them all on. They are led by the villain of all villains, Franz Gruber. On that note, I'd like you to take your hymnal, open up to hymn number 117. No, Winnie, you don't have to play it. I'd like you to take a look at hymn 117, the basis for our sermon tonight, Silent Night, Holy Night. Look in the upper right-hand corner and you will see the name of the individual who wrote the music. Franz Gruber. Aha. Silent Night. Was it written by a terrorist? Or by an organist? Well, as Paul Harvey would say, now it's time for the rest of the story. You see, the person in Hollywood who wrote that script had a little bit of fun. While it was not a quiet night, a silent night or a holy night in the movie. Well, for Franz Gruber and his dear friend Joseph Moore, it was literally a silent Christmas Eve. The year was 1818 in Oberndorf, Austria. A gentleman by the name of Joseph Moore was serving as the priest at St. Nicholas. Kind of unique. Christmas, St. Nick. God has sometimes a sense of humor. Anyways, Joseph Moore was young. He was only 26 years old. And he felt that when you have a service, like a midnight Christmas Eve service, a service that's dedicated to remembering an act of God, well, that service needs to be special. And so Joseph would write special liturgy. He would write special music. He would do everything to make that service a special, memorable service devoted to our Lord. And when you do a service like that, and I can kind of sympathize with him, well, you get a little nervous. You want it all to go right. And one of the things you do is You make a list. And prior to the service, you go through and you check off everything. And so it was that Joseph Moore made a list. And about 3 hours before the service, he went to the church, got the heat going, began to check and make sure everything was in place. And as he was going through and checking things off, I guess you could say he was making a list, checking it twice, only to find out he had an organ that wasn't going to play. The organ quit. Well, he played with the stops and the keys and the pedals and he tried everything, but he couldn't get any sound out of it. He got down on his hands and his knees. He crawled behind the console. He fiddled around. Nothing. What to his wondering eyes should appear but an organ that wouldn't be heard that night at all. In desperation, he stayed on his knees, folded his hands, and he began to pray. He said, "Lord, I want this service to be good for You. Lord, help me." Kind of like Bach, who used to say before he wrote any music, "Jesu juva, Jesus help me." And it was as he was praying, he remembered something. 2 years earlier, he had been at his grandfather's house for Christmas Eve. And after the service, he walked home. There was a gentle snow falling. And if you've ever been in a snowstorm, you know it gets very quiet. It gets very peaceful. And it touched him how calm and how peaceful it had been. And when he got to his grandfather's house, he wrote a poem. It went something like this: "Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright." And he just continued to write that poem. Well, 2 years later, he remembers it in the middle of prayer and he figures, "The Lord is answering my prayer." He went back to his office, he dug through his files, he found that poem. There was just one problem. It was just a poem. It wasn't musical. So he left and he ran across the compound over to the school. They had a one-room school there at St. Nicholas. Above the schoolhouse, there was an apartment where their single teacher lived. His name? Franz Gruber. He was an organist and a teacher. He had studied under the great George Hardobler, one of the greatest organists of the time. Joseph went to him and explained to him, "Franz, the organ quit. We have no music. We have nothing. Can you help me?" "Well, what do you have in mind?" "I have a poem. Could you write some simple music for it and have it ready in 2 hours? Something simple that we can teach the choir in less than an hour. Something really simple that I could play on my guitar." Well, Franz nodded with a little bit of a smile and a twinkle in his eye. And Joseph left him with, and I quote, "his thoughts, a ticking clock, and a prayer for inspiration." 2 hours later, they were in the church. Joseph had his guitar. There was the choir. Franz had written the music. They sang it that night, and the congregation loved that song. In fact, as they left the church, they told Joseph, "We have to sing that song again next year. That's the best one yet." Well, he was relieved. He had made it through Christmas Eve. A couple days later, the organ repairman came. And Joseph relayed to him the story of their Christmas Eve without an organ. And the organist said, I'd love to hear that song. And so Joseph went and got Franz. Franz played it for him on the organ. And the organ, you know, repairman said, that song's beautiful. And as he went from town to town and church to church and worked on the organs, guess what? He told everybody about what had happened there at St. Nicholas in Oberndorf. And they came up with this beautiful little song, and he'd play it for every priest. And every priest and every pastor said, oh, that's great. I'd like to write that down. The next year, almost every church was singing Silent Night, Holy Night. It didn't take long, and traveling folk singers were singing it. The Strasser family was singing it. Pretty soon, King William IV of Prussia got in on the act, and he declared that it would be the official ending of the Christmas concert by the National Cathedral Choir every year. In 1839, the Rainers, an Austrian family of singers, brought it to New York, whereupon the Haydn Quartet heard it. And the Haydn Quartet then began to play it, and in 1905, it was put on a record for the first time. 55 years later, in 1960, Silent Night, Holy Night gained the distinction of being the most recorded song ever. How? You know what's unique? It's held that position for 47 years. It is still the number one recorded song ever. It's a staple. I happen to be a junkie of another kind. I like the group Mannheim Steamroller. They do some pretty unique Christmas music. Their first album, when it came out, the last song, just as King William IV would have it, the last song was Silent Night, Holy Night. For 20 years, Mannheim Steamroller at Christmas goes out and does Christmas concerts. Guess what they always end with? Silent Night, Holy Night. And I know, I was to my fourth Mannheim Steamroller Christmas concert this year. Time for confessions. Silent Night, Holy Night. A great song, a great story. But you know what? When we look at that story, it has even a greater message. James, the brother of Jesus, would probably say the message would be something like this. Be patient. God will act. Joseph Moore had quite a dilemma before him. He prayed. This is exactly what James would have told him to do. In fact, in James 5, verse 13, James says, is any of you in trouble? He should pray. And be patient. In fact, James writes, James chapter 5, verses 7 and following, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. He continues on. He says, you too, be patient, stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Brothers, as an example of patience, in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. When we are patient and when we fall on our knees in prayer, God is full of mercy and compassion. He will answer our prayers. I don't know about you, but Christmas sometimes becomes a hectic time of the year. When you think of everything that's going on, you got to get the Christmas presents. If you're like me, you get a little bit annoyed with the whole business of we can't say Christ and Christmas, so we got to say Happy Holidays or whatever, and it kind of gets me going. And then you got things going on at the church like our Christmas project, which took 1 or 2 hours to prepare. And then you have a year like this year, the year that all pastors dread, where you have church on Sunday, Christmas Eve, Monday, Christmas Day, Tuesday, three separate sermons in 3 days. And you start worrying and you start fretting and throw on that, you know, your son has surgery last week Friday and there's a reason my hair is gray. But the message of Silent Night would be, slow down. Don't fret. Be patient. Pray. Because God will answer. Joseph Moore learned a tremendous lesson that night. He wanted to do something special for the Lord. He wanted to give the Lord his very best. When everything collapsed, he turned to the Lord. And think about it. The Lord gave him the very best. A song born out of prayer. So in these last hours of Christmas, slow down. Relax. Be patient. Pray. And give to the Lord your very best. The results will be anything but silence. Because our God reigns. And He is Emmanuel. God with us. In our Savior's name. Amen. This time I'd like to ask the ushers to come forward to gather our tithes and our offerings. And tonight's offering is a mission offering. We are going to be giving it to the Heifer Project, which is an international group which works in countries where they are not as adept at farming and ranching as we are here in the United States. And they help them with raising food, and also with that they bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. If the ushers would come forward, please.